the Lord thank you every now and again. We sing the songs about Calvary and the peace that He gives us. It's good for us to take time to tell Him thank you. What an opportunity to do that as we're here together hearing songs sung about Him. I said earlier, let everything that hath breath praise ye the Lord. And you ought to praise Him in your private time, but you ought to praise Him in public as well. Good opportunity to do it when you're in church and there's other people doing it with you. Sometimes you ought to just throw a praise fit when you're out in the middle of McDonald's or Baskin Robbins, Brother Gaddis, when you're hanging out there. Just ought to take time to start praising Him. Worthy to be praised. Genesis chapter number 3. I don't know what time it is, but we don't have to be in the nursery until 2. We've got to leave here at least 5. So. Getting away, man. Genesis chapter number 3. This is the message the Lord laid on my heart. A few weeks ago, we began to do our Bible reading again and go through as a church. So this was in the first day of Bible reading. The Lord laid this upon my heart. I've preached a similar message years ago, but it's changed it up quite a bit. But I'm going to do something here. And I realize we don't have a lot of time. I'm not going to have you turn to a lot of scriptures. We're going to try to stay in Genesis. But I'm going to read the entire chapter 3. Just stay with me and read with me if you would, and then I'll try to keep you here, even though I'm going to use a lot of verses this morning, and I'll try to just read those to you. You can make notes. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 1, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. He said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, yea, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat. And gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldst not eat? And the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly thou shalt go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow thou shalt eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, until thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt thou return. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. And unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. And the Lord God said, behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand, and take also of the tree of life, and eat, and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword, which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. This chapter in the Bible, if you have a heading in your Bible, it may say something like the fall. Or it may say something, my Bible says, man's shameful fall and punishment. It may say something along those lines. This is where we come to the Scriptures three chapters in after the creation of man, where man sins for the first time. We understand that there was a sin that took place before this in Lucifer and in Satan himself. And we find out in the book of Ezekiel and other places where Lucifer was cast out of heaven because of his pride. So there was a sin before this, but this was the first time man sinned. We have the account here of the temptation which Satan assaulted on the very first two people, and he has not stopped since then. The man blamed the woman. The woman blamed the snake, and the snake didn't have a leg to stand on. We find this is where it all fell apart. There's no time to go over all the verses, but we read about the first Adam and the second Adam. This is the reason that God had to send His Son Christ to save us. We find the fall that sin entered in here. We find some different individuals in the text. We find the tempter, that's the devil, and he is still up to his tempting business today. That's never stopped. The Bible said in 1 Peter 5:8, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." He went looking for somebody in the garden, and he ran across Eve. He's still slithering around today looking for somebody to deceive. He's still slithering around today looking for somebody that he can get after and destroy and devour. He's still in the same business. We find another person in our text. We find the woman here. And there's a lot of debate on whether or not her husband was standing there, because it said that her husband with her when she ate the fruit and all those kind of things. I don't know that her husband was standing next to her when Satan was having this conversation with her. It's hard for me to believe that he was standing right there. But he wasn't too far away from her. But we find this woman here. The Bible said in 1 Timothy 2:14, "And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression." Adam was not the one that was deceived. Whenever she gave the fruit to her husband, he ate it willingly. He wasn't deceived. He ate it willingly. There's a lot of good preaching that can be done with that, because Jesus Christ is a type of Adam, and He took on our sin willingly because He loved us, because He wanted a bride for Himself, and Adam did this for his bride. I mean, I can imagine that He knew some of the consequences that would come. The Bible said He was not deceived. He knew what He was doing. So we find these different things, but then the temptation that's here that is brought to Eve. Let's look at it for just a second as a way of introduction, then I'm going to get into the message this morning. We see his devices. His devices. The Bible talks about in 2 Corinthians 2:11, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. He started using devices in the very beginning, and he's been using them ever since. Not only his devices, but the Bible talks about his depths. He will go at no depths to ruin a marriage. He will go at no depths to destroy a church. He will go at no depths to destroy your children. He will stop at no lengths. There's nothing. He plays dirty. He fights dirty. The Bible said in Revelation chapter number 2, verse 24, "But unto you I say, and unto the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan, as they speak, I will put upon you none other burden." We know of his depths. The Bible also talks about his wiles. His wiles in Ephesians 6:11, "But put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." The devil is constantly attacking. He is still doing that today. All through Scripture we see it. Notice in verse number 1, the first thing the devil did was he questioned the sincerity of God's command. The sincerity. "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden." The very first thing he does is questions the sincerity of the command. What he's saying is, do you really think that's sinful or not? does the same thing to people today. Especially after a message is preached, a preacher gets up and preaches out of the Word of God, and the first thing he wants to do is whisper in your ear, especially if it's something that you're doing. He tries to get you to justify it. He tries to question the sincerity of the command. Is this really what he said? Yea, hath God. Is that really what he means? But the book means exactly what the book says. We believe the King James Bible is the final authority. Not you, not me, certainly not Satan, is the final authority. And so he begins to question the sincerity of the command. He also questions the safety of the command. Look in verse number 4. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. You know what he was saying? There's no danger in doing this. Even though God had already told them, in the day ye eat thereof, ye shall surely die. Satan's questioning the safety of it. God really didn't mean what he said. And if you take a part of this fruit and you eat it, you're not going to really die. How many people we talk to today? We could go down to downtown Birmingham and talk to them about the thoughts that went through their mind as they began to try drugs for the first time, as they begin to get hooked on alcohol, as they begin to watch their life go down the drain, the thoughts that came across their mind was, it'll never happen to me. Where does that come from? The devil says there's no danger in one drink. There's no danger in one shot. There's no danger in the first time. And he does that to young people. He'll do it to a marriage. Tells a man there's no danger in looking one time. You can look, but you can't touch. And all these kind of things he puts in their mind. And it takes them down a trail that they never intended to go down. And it started off with him saying, there's no danger in this. Well, the Bible says there is danger in it. But Satan says, no, that's not talking about you. You're in a good church. You have a King James Bible. You know the Lord. You're saved. That's talking about somebody else. I'm telling you, you can't handle it. There's been greater men and greater women than what we have sitting in this room, and I believe we got some good people in this room, but there's been greater than you and I have fallen to sin because they thought it would never happen to me. He questions the safety. He questions the superiority of the command. Look there in verse number 5. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. You know what? He goes on to tell them that God really didn't mean it. There's no danger in it. And a matter of fact, it's going to benefit you if you do this. That's how he works. That's how Satan works. He's still working the same way today. That's how he destroys marriages. That's how young people, I've heard so many stories recently of young people that grew up in a good church, and as soon as they get old enough, they want to leave and go because they think there's something better out there. That's a tactic of the devil he's used for a long time, and he don't have to change it up because it's still working today. So we find that the temptation here, we find the individuals. But what I want to look at this morning for a few minutes, I want to look at the curses that were passed on to the three different individuals here in this text. Satan, the woman, and the man. God comes to the man first because men were responsible for our wives. So he went to her first. And he came, went to him first, and he came to him, and he immediately put the blame on the woman. The woman put the blame on the serpent. And so since God saw that the blame ended with the serpent. He started with the serpent and worked his way backwards with the curses. We find that they're laid out here. I'm going to look at these for just a few moments this morning on these curses. We find in verse number 14 and 15, the curses that were put on the serpent. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly thou shalt go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. The curses that God put upon Satan. The first one we find there says, thou art cursed above all cattle, above every beast of the field. Man, what a curse to put on something. Amen. What a curse that he cursed above absolutely everything. Nobody wants a curse on him. But Satan, here we find that he is He's given this curse of despair and then a curse of disgrace. It said, upon my belly thou shalt go. Nobody's ever seen a snake walking around. Why? They can't walk. They have no legs. They slither. This was a curse that was put on this serpent there. It said, not only despair and disgrace, but dust. Dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. This was the curse that was put on him. And I'm fast-forwarding through this one because I really want to get to the other two. But the last one I'm thankful for, another curse that was put on Satan was defeat. Defeat. The Bible said there in verse number 15, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. The devil does get defeated. We know that he's the little g god of this world right now. But one day he will be defeated and cast into the eternal lake of fire. He will be. That's a curse that was put on him. The title of the message today is Reversing the Curse. You say, what do you mean by that? We find these curses are handed out here in Genesis chapter 3 because of this sin that took place. But mankind ever since this has been trying to reverse the curse. They've been trying to undo what God put in order, and they've been trying to do away with it. I can show you that on every one of these. I'm not going to go into great detail on all of them. But you know, people are obsessed with and worship snakes today. God put a curse on that snake. I don't think anybody should have a snake for a pet. I've heard stories of people talking about how the snake's laying in bed next to them and stretching out. That snake's not stretching out. That snake's trying to see if he can swallow you and you'll fit in his body. I've heard horror stories of snakes eating children. So you're trying to scare my kids. Yes, don't get a pet snake. No, only good snake's a dead snake. They say, what about a rat snake? I remember I killed one years ago, took a picture of it, sent it to Brother Jeff. And he goes, don't kill that one. That's a good one. I said, it was close to the house. It's a dead snake. It might have been a good snake. I don't know. Maybe they eat mice and all those things. But the Bible said he put a curse on that serpent. But there's an infatuation with snakes. You even go in some of these third world countries and there's an infatuation with snakes. What is that? God put a curse on it so man's interested in it. I want to play with it. I want to toy with it. Some of these churches probably up where he lives in Tennessee, they still handle them things. I'm sure there's a few around here too. I think there's one not far from my house. And then snakes bite them, and those people end up dying. But they think they got all, you know, that they don't rightly divide their Bible. They don't know what they're doing. But snakes, there's an infatuation with them. Second of all, we see not only does he issue a curse to the serpent, but he issues one to the woman. Look in verse number 16. Are y'all still with me? The Bible said, unto the woman, he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow. And thy conception sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. He shall rule over thee. The first thing we see there is sorrow. I will greatly multiply thy sorrow, and thy conception is sorrow thou shalt bring forth children. The Bible over and over again throughout Scripture, talking about the nation of Israel mostly, talks about their sorrow and equates it to as a woman in travail. As a woman in travail. One of the verses, Psalms 48:6 says, fear took hold upon them there, and pain as a woman in travail. And the Bible here says that from conception, she's going to have sorrow all the way through. And men's probably not going to amen too much on this, but from conception all the way through birth, the woman goes crazy. Why? It's emotional roller coaster. I mean, you could not like Taco Bell at all, but once you have a child, now you're craving Taco Bell all the time. I mean, they go through ups and downs, there's sorrow. They get up one morning and look in the mirror, and man, their stomach starts growing, and they go through all these emotions. My husband won't love me no more. All these things they go through. Why? The Bible said that was a curse that was put on women because of what happened. It's not all his fault, amen? But this is something that the Bible said would take place. And she goes through all these times of sorrow and things when her body's changing. The Bible said this is a curse that was put on them. Not only did it talk about sorrow there, but it also talks about her satisfaction with change. Her satisfaction. The Bible said, her desire shall be to thy husband. You know what that tells me? It tells me that before this curse, that maybe her desire would be okay to be towards other things. But the Bible said her desire shall be to her husband. And the Bible says in Titus chapter 2, verse 2 through 5, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith and charity, in patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. This was a part of the curse that was put on them. You know, in that sorrow of childbirth, there's some joy mixed in there. Because as soon as that baby's born, it's almost like she forgets everything that she went through for the last 9 months. I don't know how in the world a woman can take a baby and deliver it in a gas station and put it in a garbage can. That's not natural. There's something bad wrong with that. But a woman delivers a child. The Bible talks about that in John 18:1 about a woman in travail, but joy when she brings that child into the world. So there's joy mixed in that sorrow. But she has to go through all those stages of sorrow from conception all the way to birth. We find the sorrow, the satisfaction should be to her husband. Not only that, but we find the subjection that was put on her. It said, "He shall rule over thee." He shall. Now, I know what I'm about to preach is not popular at all. I'm talking about reversing the curse. The Bible said in 1 Timothy 2:11, I already read that verse. Ephesians 5:22, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord." Titus 2:5, "To be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed." We're talking about reversing the curse this morning, and mankind has been trying to reverse every one of these curses that were put on mankind. For a woman, when it comes to sorrow and childbearing, they have a pill you can take for every aspect of childbirth. From conception all the way to birth, you can just about not feel anything. Am I right? They have enough drugs they can fit. You know what they're trying to do? Reverse the curse. Reverse the curse. And I don't know how different women here would have given birth and those kind of things, but doing it naturally, there's a lot of pain, but there's also a lot of enjoyment when you're holding that child that you gave birth to that thing. And but mankind has been trying to reverse the curse. God said, "This is how it's going to be." Man said, "No, it's not. This is how we're going to do it." And I'm getting to somewhere at the end of the message. Hang on with me. Man's been trying to reverse the curse, trying to find a way to make it easy, trying to find a way to take away the sorrow. There's women that go through postpartum depression and they go through things like that. And I tell you today, listen, if you're on medicine, that's between you and God. But there's so many people today on medicine for depression, because that's the only way they can cope with it. They go through sorrow. They go through things. But I'm telling you, there's another way, and that way is Jesus Christ. And I'm going to get to that here in just a moment. Reversing the curse. There's medicine that will completely take away the sorrow out of every aspect of childbearing. And I'm not against you if you took any of that medicine. I'm not telling you that. There's also been a great push for women's rights. There's been a great push for a woman to be equal with man in the workplace and all those things. And she does not want a man ruling over her. I knew it would get quiet at this part. You know what it is? Reverse the curse. Reverse the curse. The Bible said a woman's long hair is her glory. What does she want? A short hair like men. The Bible said that a woman should not wear that which pertaineth to a man. What does she want to do? She wants to wear clothing like a man. That's what they do. They try to. What are they trying to do? They're trying to reverse the curse. Doesn't like the idea that I'm in subjection to my husband and that he shall rule over me. And has a problem with it. There's women right here that have a problem with it. There's women in society. I mean, everywhere you go, it's the first thing they want to balk at. The most people we've ever had leave our church is when I was teaching on submitting to your husband, and we had a mass exodus in our church. That's what the Bible says. Reversing the curse. You'll never find more joy and peace in a Christian life as a wife than one that is at home raising their children in subjection to her husband. That's where you'll find the most peace and the most joy, because that's what God designed. That's how God designed it to be. Reversing the curse. Women want to rule in the workplace, and they want to not... There's women today that they do not want to have children. They have no desire to have children. Some that have no desire to get married. What is that? Reversing the curse. Telling God, I'll show you. It's real quiet in here. Reversing the curse. We find the serpent, we find the woman, and next of all and last, we find the man. Look at the man, verse number 17. And unto Adam said he, because thou hast hearkened to the voice of thy wife, you listened to your wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow thou shalt eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field, in the sweat of thy face. If your Bible says brow, you got the wrong one. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. We find the curse that was put upon man. His ownership would change. He said, thou shalt not eat of it. All these wonderful things you were enjoying, Adam, that I just provided for you, no longer are you going to eat of those things. No more will you just be able to go out there and pluck the fruit and go through all those things freely without having to work for it. No more will you be able to do that. This was the curse that was put upon him. His occupation changed. It said, cursed is the ground for thy sake. Now, all of a sudden, his job of just naming animals and trying to keep up with his wife is has changed. There's more that has to be done. In sorrow thou shalt eat of it all the days of thy life. His occupancy changed. Where he lived changed. Look there, verse number 23. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. He was removed from where he lived. Sin will do the same thing to you. Sin will do the same thing to me. Sin will rob you of the blessings of God. They freely fellowship with God. They walked with Him. They talked with Him. They got to partake of the fruit. They got to hang out with the animals. And now because of the curse and because of sin, it took everything away from them. Those individuals I talked about that are down there at Jimmy Hill Mission, even this morning, you'll go talk to some of them, and some of them grew up in church. Some of them fell off. There's doctors, there's lawyers, there's preachers' kids that sat in a church, and sin has taken everything away from them. That's what happened to Adam. Sin absolutely ripped everything away from them. His outcome changed. In the sweat of thy face thou shalt eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of this was thou taken, for dust thou art, unto dust thou shalt return. Reversing the curse. You know, young men today are taught that if you have to work a job with your hands and sweat, that that's a bad thing. Now listen, I want to shake the hand of Mr. Carrier that invented air conditioning. I love air conditioning. Absolutely. I enjoy it. I'm burning up here right now. I enjoy air conditioning. But man has tried to reverse the curse. They teach young men that it's a bad thing to work with your hands and sweat. If you don't get good grades, you may have to work on the back of a dump truck. Somebody needs to work on the back of a dump truck. Amen. If you don't get good grades, you might have to go out and be a plumber. We need some plumbers that love God and that serve God. I'll tell you right now, my pastor, Brother Charlie, told me for years and years, and Brother Steve is sitting here too, told us these same things, that if you'll learn a trade to work with your hands and you'll do right and show up on time, stay off of drugs, stay off your phone, you can work your way up in a company and work as much as you want to. Make as much money as you want to. Nobody wants to, listen, nothing against those that are brilliant, can do the things on the computers and all that, but I'm telling you, these kids go off to college, and a lot of them are having a hard time getting a job. Yes, because everybody wants to sit behind a computer desk, and thank God for the ones that have the ability to do that, but sometimes you need to get out and work with your hands and sweat a little bit. We have some young men at youth camp. We make them go outside, and they have not spent 30 minutes outside their entire life. They start perspiring. Girls perspire, not boys. Amen. But the boys start getting out there, and they're like, what is this? What is this foreign stuff? You know, the God designed your body to get rid of things through sweat. What am I talking? I'm talking about reversing the curse. Young men, you need to learn a trade of some sort. I don't care if you want to go be a famous artist. Learn a trade. Something to fall back on. Something to be able to help your family. Be able to work with your hands. And it's okay to sweat. Matter of fact, it's good for you. Drink lots of water and sweat. Man, I'll tell you, at camp, it's the most pitiful thing. Years ago, we'd go to camp. I mean, I've been going out there for, I don't know how long it's been now, probably 20 years going out there to camp. And when we first, we had to beg them to come back inside. They were running around, but thanks to video games and screens and technology, now we can't get them off the couch to get them to go outside for 30 minutes to play. What is it? Reversing the curse. Reversing the curse. Young men are taught that working with your hands is a bad thing. Sweating is a bad thing. The Bible said here that he'd have to work with his hands to get some food. Now all you do is have to work your thumb for Grubhub. And it'll bring you food to your table, to your couch, and you didn't have to work anything for it. They have weed killers, and I like weed killers. We spray weed killer in our parking lot all the time. But you know what we have to do? We have to spray it all the time because no matter what we do, it comes back up again. It comes back up again. Reversing the curse. Reversing the curse. It's good to learn those things. What I'm getting at in this message, and I'm gonna end it up here, is God gave out these curses and man has been trying on their own to deal with these things for a long time. With the serpent, with the woman, with man, the curses that we have to live with because of Adam and Eve, man is constantly trying to come up with a different way, a better way to deal with these things. You know what my Bible tells me? God gave out these curses, but my Bible said that Christ became a curse for us. The Bible said in Galatians 3:13, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. It is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. If you're taking notes, I'm going to go quickly. And I'll give these to you after church if you want them. But the sentence for sin in here, Genesis chapter 3, was bruising. The Bible said in Isaiah 53:10, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. And here in our text it said sorrow was a sentence for sin. Isaiah 53:3 says he was a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. Curse was put down. Galatians 3, I just read it, being made a curse for us. Thorns were a part of the curse. John 19:2 said the soldiers platted a crown of thorns upon his head. The Bible said that sweat was a sentence for sin. The Bible said in Luke 22, and his sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground. The Bible said that dust was a part of the sin sentence for the serpent and for Adam. Psalms 22:15 said, thou hast brought me into the dust of death, speaking of Christ. Separation was a part of the sentence that was passed down. Man was separated from God. The Bible said in Psalms 22:1, speaking of Christ, he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? So what are you getting at? Christ became a curse for you and I so that he could help us deal with all these things. Hey, God dealt out the curses for sin, turned right around, put them upon himself, and said, now I will help you go through every bit of this. There's not time this morning to show you the verses that God told you women, I will help you through your sorrow. I will help you carry your burden. I will bring joy through your sorrow. I will give you strength through your sorrow. How he told them over and over again that he would help you in subjection to your husband and help you to love your husband, and told the man that he would help you in your work and he would help you where you live and he would help feed you and he would help provide for you. People are trying to reverse the curse, and we need to stop trying to reverse it and start leaning on the strength of God to help us through these things. Do you know why this morning, ma'am, you have a hard time submitting to your husband? Why you have a hard time being in subjection? Why you have a hard time with these things? Because you're trying to handle it on your own instead of letting God help you. Again, there's verse after verse, and I've got to finish up to go on with these things, that God will give you the strength to help with these things. Man, we're struggling along and struggling to provide for our family and to love our wives and do the things we're supposed to do because there's too many trying to do it on their own. That's why they have to have another pill. That's why there's some out there that have to have another drink. That's why they have to shoot up something else. They're trying to deal with the things that God laid out for mankind to have to deal with, but they're doing it without God. They're doing it without Him. Look in Genesis chapter 4. Miss Sarah, you come to the piano. Genesis chapter number 4. And look at verse number 26. In Genesis chapter 3, God gives out the curses. The fall of man. And He begins to give out the curses to the serpent. Gives out the curses to the woman. Gives out the curses to the man. And from what I can tell in Scripture, you start playing, Miss Sarah, when you get there. What I can tell from here is you go on, you got the story of Cain and Abel in chapter number 4. And they went out and they began just to live under this curse. They just carried on under the curse. It is what it is. We've got to live with this. Look what the Bible said in Genesis chapter 4, verse 26. Somewhere down the line, verse number 26, you there, say amen. And to Seth, this is another, look at verse 25. And Adam knew his wife again as she bare a son and called his name Seth. Because of sin, we find the first murder in the Bible. The first death. Sin will rip you apart. They're living under a curse. And Adam knew his wife in verse 25 and she bare a son and called his name Seth. For God said, she hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel whom Cain slew. And to Seth, to him also there were born a son. And he called his name Enos. And look what the Bible says. They got tired of just living under the curse by themselves. The Bible said, then begin men to call upon the name of the Lord. At some point, when this man Enos was born, somebody said, hey, we are living in this cursed world. And I got to have God's help. I can't do it on my own. I can't go through the curses. I can't deal. My wife can't deal with the conception and the birth and the sorrow and the subjection. I can't provide for my family. I'm just tired of struggling. I'm tired of sin ripping my family apart. And Enos began to call on the name of the Lord and said, God, I can't do this without you. And what we find for the remainder of Scripture for the children of Israel, for us in the church today, when we begin to call on God and say, Lord, I can't do this without you. I don't want another pill. I don't want another I want your help. And God begins to help. We begin to call on Him. Let's all stand every head bowed, every eye closed. Maybe this morning, church, there's somebody in here that you just need to call upon the name of the Lord. Maybe you've been dealing with some of the struggles that are a direct result of the curse that was placed upon man, woman, and serpent. And Lord, I need your help this morning. Every head bowed, every eye closed. There's already something to come. God, come to your heart. Maybe you're here this morning, you're not saved. The Bible said He became a curse for us. He died on that old rugged cross to save us. The Bible said that Christ's soul was not left in hell. He even took hell for you. God spoke to your heart. Would you come this morning? Reversing the curse. Stop trying to reverse it. Stop trying. All the curse of this life and the wickedness and the sin, all those things that we're fighting against, stop trying to do it on your own and call upon the name of the Lord. Some that have come. If you need to speak, if you want to talk to God this morning, you come. You need somebody to pray for you. We'll pray for you. If you're not saved, you're not sure where you'll spend eternity, in heaven or hell, would you come this morning? Let's take a Bible and show you how you can know for sure that you're saved. Man, I can't imagine not knowing Christ and having to deal with the curses of this world. I'm thankful that I know Him. I'm thankful that I know Him and His provisions and how good He's been to me, and I'm thankful for it this morning. Some doing business with God. You may have your head bowed and eyes closed.
Christ is all I need. Christ is all I need. All I need. Christ is all I need. Christ is all.
If He's not, I'd get it fixed. You say, well, you don't know what I'm going. I'm telling you, anything you're going through, He's all you need.
Amen.
He's all you need. I pray that service was a blessing this morning. I appreciate our missionary being here with us. Brother, would you close us in prayer? And you be sure to pray for him and his family. They got to leave here and go about 3 hours away to another church tonight. So keep him in prayer. And, brother, you close us out.